Welcome to the Brothers Murph Get Smart. This is a weekly podcast in which two brothers, namely myself, Michael Murphy,
and myself, Nicholas Murphy,
attempt to become more knowledgeable about the world and all the things in it. So joined us with us this week is
Casey Brown
and
Dylan White.
And the whole goal of this podcast is really for Nick and I to get a proper education, an education of the world, things that maybe we forgot that we learned in school or never did learn in school, and really need lots of people that are smarter than us to help us along the way. So we're going to have a number of guests, but the point is we need to learn about anything and everything we can, because we're eternally curious people. And the topics are going to be all over the place. Sometimes it'll be science-based, history-based, arts and culture, anything. We are down to learn about any topic, and the topics will be varied. But we're actually going to flip the script for the first episode, because typically it's going to be, you know, my brother and I joined by these two wonderful people and many guests and stuff and schooling us. But I want the world to know right away that, hey, we know stuff too, guys.
True.
Okay, we're not complete idiots, so we're going to start off by being the resident experts. And I think our mission today is learning how to be the ultimate martial arts entertainer. If you want to be the ultimate martial arts entertainer, we're going to tell you how. And basically, it's just be Jackie Chan.
Mostly, because Jackie Chan is the absolute greatest.
Oh, yeah. He's the bomb. Nick and I definitely grew up watching all of this dude's movies, yes. New and old. We were like, when Rush Hour happened and this guy kind of hit the scene in America, Nick and I are like, oh, this is old news. Like,
yeah, no, we've been watching Rumble in the Bronx since we were like super young.
Like bad redub versions and stuff before like he went and redubbed all his own movies. Yeah. I mean, we were deep in by the time
Rush Hour like, hello there.
This is what he sounded like. I'm like, that's not how Jackie Chan
that's
sounds
not
at
Jackie
all.
Chan.
My experience with Jackie Chan, I had a very weird trajectory, but the first Jackie Chan movie I ever saw was Shanghai Noon, which is still
start.
My fave. And then I went back and I've seen all the Rush Hours, all his great, you know, rom-com type of martial arts movies he's made. Right. So that's where I come from. So not as deep as you guys, but definitely a fan.
Okay. And Dylan, my understanding is that you, which is odd because we knew you growing up, but you don't have the same connection to Mr. Chan, correct?
Not at all. I don't think I've ever seen any of his Hong Kong movies. Introduction to him was definitely the Rush Hour films. I think it might even have been Rush Hour 2 was my introduction to him.
Oh my God. Like, what did you do during whatever summer that movie came out? Like, when we're like, all we're doing kung fu and trying to jump up trees and stuff, you're just like, this is weird. I'm going to go back to reading this old
Yeah.
Tale.
Well,
and
that's, as you know, I was a really weird kid growing up. So, like, that's not.
What?
Oh, I know. So surprising, right? Yeah, actually, probably just rewatching Star Wars and Indiana Jones over and over and over again.
Which is fair.
That's fine.
Yeah, so where did this magical man appear from?
And I think it's important to go back to where he
did a high kick out of his mother's womb.
He was just,
he was popped out of Zeus's head. Like, where did he come from?
Because a lot of people know Jackie Chan from, like, Rush Hour Ford, like most people. But the issue is, it's like, that was, like, way past his prime. Like, he was pretty old by that point. He couldn't do all the stuff he used to. So there's all of his best stuff is, like, before that, and his life is so interesting.
True. I don't want to downplay how amazing he is, though.
No, not
still
at all.
But like in Rush Hour and stuff, like, yeah, homeboy's like 40 already.
Yeah,
you know,
which, really,
how old is he now?
Well, let's do some quick math, because Jackie Chan was actually born in 1954, April 7th.
Oh,
so
my
we can
God
always remember that day. Yeah, like I said, he was definitely
He's
in
62.
His 40s.
Whoa.
When like Rush Hour happened,
yeah.
Shanghai
like
Noon.
He was way past his prime.
Yeah. And that just shows, like, if you bust your ass your whole life, you will have some longevity. So this guy was born, in British Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. All right. He was born Chan Kong Sang to his parents, Charles and Lili Chan. All right. They're refugees from the Chinese Civil War, actually.
Oh, wow.
So kind of, you know, dealing with some turmoil there. And he was just right away from the jump. Before ever doing in training, like, this kid was just bouncing off the walls and stuff, doing little cartwheels and stuff. And so his parents actually nicknamed him Pow Pow, which means cannonball, because he was just always rolling around everywhere.
And he was also a massive baby. Like, yeah, his mother had to have a C-section because he was like 12 pounds or something. I mean, he was a huge baby.
Yeah.
And so he was very spherical.
Like I said, he just kicked his way right out of the womb. And in 1960, Jackie Chan's father actually moved to Australia to work as the head cook in the American embassy and stuff. So they were kind of very internationally involved. And so his parents went over there, and rather than taking Jackie with them, they enrolled him in the China Drama Academy, which was a Peking opera school, kind of like old school hardcore performance arts school. Like, this thing was nuts. He spent 10 years there. The next 10 years of his life were spent at this drama academy, where he learned acrobatics, martial arts, singing, acting, through hardcore training.
Yeah, because the Chinese Opera House, the school isn't just, a lot of people think it was just like a martial arts school. And while they did learn that, two things. One, they didn't really learn like actual, like really fighting martial arts. They learned like very theatrical and
so that's visually exciting to see. It's more about the look of the things versus like actually chopping someone's head off.
And people are like, oh, Bruce Lee can kick his ass. It's like, yeah, because Bruce Lee is like a super good martial artist, whereas like Jackie Chan is more, he's a performer, he's an entertainer. Not that he couldn't kick the shit out of people, he really could. And the training was very hardcore. I mean,
they'd get whacked with canes and stuff. Constantly. I mean, it's stuff that would not fly today.
And everything is done in a ranking system. So the oldest students do a lot of the teaching, but they're also like really mean to the young kids because, you know, it's just like any other school.
Very strict, very disciplined.
They have to be, I think, I remember he talks about how everyone had to be as comfortable on their hands as they were on their feet. So they would spend like literally hours in handstands just sitting there. And they said every time a teacher wasn't looking, they would like lean their legs against a wall just to give themselves a little break. But then again, if a teacher saw you, you'd come and get the crap kicked out of you with the cane.
Nope. Cane your shins and stuff. Yeah, it's hardcore. So this dude in the school and stuff, he learned Hapkido, Karate, Judo, Taekwondo, Jeet Kune Do, a bunch of different styles and stuff. And again, it was all about kind of the look of everything and doing things with fans and singing. And so he became a very well-rounded performer. So he actually started at 17.
Wait. Jackie Chan is a singer?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Dylan, did you know that?
Did know that. He did the voice of the main lead in Mulan for the Chinese version.
Oh, yes, yeah?
He did. What?
Yeah.
And there's a version on the DVD extras in Mulan where he's singing I'll Make a Man Out of You, but he's singing it in Mandarin.
It's amazing.
And it's actually really
good. How have I not heard that?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Jackie is the biggest Disney fan I know.
And yeah, so I'm surprised that I was the one who knew this, the two of us.
Yeah. Boom. Case to never live that one down. Jackie Chan is a very successful recording artist in China. Jackie Chan is still, guys, probably the biggest star in
the
world.
Can we please put links to every song he's ever recorded?
Yeah, he's got a greatest hits album. He's released like 11 albums in China. And he's actually come out and said that if he could do it all over again, he would be a singer. He wouldn't have been an actor. He wouldn't have been a martial artist. That he would have just sang. Singing is really his passion.
A Chinese judge on China's Got Talent?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
He's too big for that. You have to be washed out to be those people.
Yeah.
It's always like he'll never wash up and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Howie Mandel is not washed.
Howie Mandel's crushing it. I love him,
but he is the biggest star that's ever existed, and he really is.
Yeah. So we'll definitely put links in the show notes to some jams of his on YouTube and stuff.
Yes.
It's really, I mean, he's amazing. Again, multi talented.
Yeah. Get his greatest.
Okay. So he's this amazing singer. Yeah. Performer, acrobat, just little wunderkind. And so what happens after he leaves school?
So after he leaves school, he goes right into the business. It was just kind of the only thing, like, think about it.
Like showbiz?
Yeah.
Showbiz.
That business?
In China and stuff. It's the only thing this dude knows. For 10 years, that was just literally beaten into him, was performing and stuff.
Day,
so
every single day.
A lot of these guys and stuff, they went in to do stunt work. And that's what happened with him. At 17, he became a stuntman. And he actually worked on some Bruce Lee movies because Bruce Lee was absolutely the height of his popularity. Yeah. So he worked on Fist of Fury and Enter the Dragon as a stuntman.
So this would have been, what, the 70s? Early 70s? Okay.
Yeah, and you can actually see the scene. And we'll put a link to it of like Jackie Chan kind of getting the crap beat out of him by Bruce Lee and stuff. And there's some funny little anecdotes about Jackie Chan's time on those movies because like Bruce Lee would actually like kick him and punch him and stuff. And then after he's just like, oh shit, you okay? And like Jackie got like, you know, like whacked in the head by a stick, but he's like, he's fine. But he'd like play it up so that like Bruce Lee would feel bad and like kind of like hang out with him because like Bruce Lee is this mega star.
He's the hugest dude on the planet.
Everybody looked up to this guy. Right. And so like literally that was the goal was how do I become Bruce Lee? Who's going to be the next Bruce Lee? This was a huge thing during this time. And right after Bruce Lee passed away, this was kind of the big question. Who's going to be the next Bruce Lee? And for a second there, they tried to mold Jackie Chan in Bruce Lee's image. Mm-hmm. They were like, you're going to be the next Bruce Lee. He was marketed and he got a starring role in the new Fist of Fury, which is basically, you know, directly stealing from Fist of Fury, which is a Bruce Lee film. And they tried to make it like, boom, he is the next Bruce Lee and stuff. And it just simply didn't work. A lot of people tried this during this time. There was, you know, one producer who tried this with several different people, several different films. Didn't work. There is no other Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee is the only Bruce Lee. Mm-hmm. So in 1978, Jackie was given an opportunity to do another movie. And this was the first time he was allowed complete freedom over the stunt work, the fighting, and all of that and stuff. And he was able to use his own people.
What's the movie called?
It's called Snake in the Eagle's Shadow.
That's a great title for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to throw up a link in the show notes for a specific scene from this movie. Now you go watch the movie. It's pretty bad. But the cool thing is you see the beginnings of like Jackie Chan, true Jackie Chan coming up. And in this movie, the main thing is that he infuses comedy into the fighting, into all the scenes and stuff. And this is the first time where he was able to throw a little bit of his swagger, a little bit of his style into the movie. And then soon after he did Drunken Master, and that blew up
completely
because that's a very funny movie. They did two of them. So this was the first one and it's very funny and stuff. And then like right away, people were like, oh shit, this is something. And Jackie Chan became Jackie Chan. So that's kind of,
this is in China.
Yes. All in China.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not worldwide yet.
Not at all. So it took him a long time to become.
Not to downplay the importance of being huge in China. I mean, that was what an accomplishment. But this isn't like I, as an American in 1980, have not heard of Jackie Chan necessarily.
Again, unless you're into that already, you would know who he was.
Okay. I mean, he didn't really blow up until Rush Hour, which is what, 1997, 98? Yeah. I mean,
for the summer that Dylan was mysteriously
gone.
This is the thing that's wild. Cannonball Run came out with Burt Reynolds, huge movie and stuff, I think in the 80s. And by then, Jackie had become popular in Asia, very popular and stuff. He has a small role in Cannonball Run as one of the, you know, other racers and stuff. Very small, nothing, not career making over here at all. So in, you know, the on the marquees and the movie theaters over here, it's like Burt Reynolds in, you know, and Dom DeLuise in Cannonball Run, da 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 da. In Asia, it was seriously Jackie Chan starring in Cannonball Run. Burt Reynolds not even mentioned on the marquee. And that just shows how different, like Jackie Chan was a biggest star in the world. And most of the world didn't know it. You know what I mean? But in Asia, this dude was huge.
Yeah.
And eventually it wasn't
just the Chinese market. It was really all, not that Asia's all one thing. It's not.
No, but he was huge throughout
Asia. But I mean, he was massive. You think of the amount of people in that area.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's the biggest star in the world, probably still to this day. And it's just like, cause you think you're like, well, why he's not big in America?
Yeah, we're so US.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. We're so US. We only think about ourselves really, you know, and like once you hit the oceans on either side of us, nothing else really exists.
Yeah, because America.
Yeah, because exactly, which is fair because it's America. Yeah,
that's fair. And again, we got Rush Hour, and then in Rush Hour 2, Dylan caught on. And so Dylan, having watched some Jackie Chan movies, can you appreciate him? And I don't want you to think our friendship's on the line, but I am really curious as to what you're going to say here.
He doesn't want you to think that, but he's not saying that it
is. But he's not ruling that out as a possibility for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, I would say, like, you know, I liked Rush Hour and stuff. I didn't feel anything too strongly towards either of the Rush Hour movies. one or the other. And I never got Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights, that sort of thing. And then I can't really name any other of his movies in America, if I'm honest.
Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, those were the big ones. I mean, he did the tuxedo and
The tuxedo. I was thinking that he had one called like The Jacket or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello. What about the amazing films that are Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah.
Is he in those?
Yeah.
He's the monkey, one of the Kung Fu masters.
The Kung Fu master.
Karate Kid too.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I forgot about Karate Kid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one area that I want to talk in. Karate Kid was amazing. I really liked it. And one of the main reason was Jackie Chan. And this is why, you know, if you're looking to be the greatest martial arts entertainer of all time, I think Karate Kid, weirdly, is one of the best examples mm-hmm. of why he's so good.
I need you to explain to me, the novice, why, if I'm looking to be the best, mm-hmm. am I looking at Jackie Chan and not Bruce Lee?
Okay.
Yeah.
Simple. And Dylan, are you familiar with Bruce Lee?
I am a bit familiar with Bruce. I would say I'm more familiar with Bruce Lee than I am with Jackie Chan.
Okay, so is from Dylan and me as not... Perfect. And I'm full disclosure biased to... I'm inclined towards Jackie, but mm-hmm. I want to know, you know, just sure. all things equal.
And what are his credentials? Why is he the best?
I would say as well, I'm not an expert on Bruce Lee, but I did watch Enter the Dragon, and mm-hmm. I did believably see Bruce Lee take down 100 men in that movie. At the same time. Believably take down 100 people accurate. At the same time.
I mean, he was a badass. Like,
yeah, he was.
It's not a joke. Like,
yeah, and I want to make that clear about this podcast. This is no way. I'm not trying to take on and take down Bruce Lee, Jet Li, Donnie Yen, Tony Leung, any of the greats, men and women, martial arts entertainers. But Jackie Chan does it better.
Because we're talking about entertainers, right? So that's the distinction that you want to make.
Martial artists.
Not martial artists. Because martial artists-wise, it's just not as much of a competition.
No.
Exactly. And not to mention, I wouldn't put that argument for any of these people. Because at the end of the day, these people make movies, right? And they can all whoop some ass. I would never fight Jackie Chan. Why would I want to end my life this early? He would never, I don't think... fight me, though, because he's a gentleman, and that's what the part of my thing. So getting into why I think he's the best entertainer specifically, first of all, going back to Karate Kid, I think he's a better actor than all of them.
Yes.
Than all of them. He is believable in every role that he does. He doesn't try to do a billion different kinds of roles, although lately in life he has taken more interesting kind of just dramatic performance roles.
And one of the reasons... for that is people are finally letting him.
Homeboy is busy.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of big like Chinese epics. He's been doing a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and he's getting a chance to do some different things and stuff. And I think he's pretty happy with where he's at in his career because he's kind of been wanting this for a while. He's like, yeah, I can kick stuff, but gotta do some acting in between that. And it looks like he's been getting his opportunity.
And I say we bring him back to America because one thing he said he always wanted to be a dramatic actor, but he says he's always wanted to be a romantic interest. Like he's always wanted to be like in a rom-com where he's not fighting. So Meryl Streep, Jackie Chan, like an old people love story, you know, like they do with always like Diane Keaton
and
stuff like that.
Those are my favorite love stories.
We should bring that back and it would be beautiful. It would be honestly a really good movie.
I would
watch the hell out of that
movie. Are you kidding me? Because you have... You know, Meryl Streep can sell anything. She could do anything.
She's so charming, yeah.
She's so charming. And then Jackie Chan, that would just be so beautiful. Some kind of, like, romance that develops when you wouldn't think it would.
Yeah,
and
it could be he's visiting here, she's visiting there, whatever. You could do a Roman holiday kind of thing.
Like older people.
I mean, it could be anything. It'd be so good.
He sells every single role he's in. I believe him in Rush Hour as, you know, this bodyguard trying to get, you know, the consulate's daughter back and stuff.
I believe him 100% in Shanghai Noon
as
you know,
as a, you know, a true fish out of water.
Yeah, just you know, kind of plop down.
The guard of the forbidden city. Yeah.
And the thing is, it's great is that he, there are formulas to his movies and stuff. And this is also, I think, part of what makes him a great entertainer is that he's never the bad guy. Mm-hmm. He's never a villain. He's never the instigator in a fight. He's just a good guy trying to get by. He's always outnumbered. Mm-hmm. He's always starting in some sort of compromised position and having to overcome that. And he sells every role. Like in the moments where things are sad and stuff, I fully believe him. He sells the comedy in each scenario and stuff, in the way, you know, his facial expressions, and he's alive and acting the part throughout fight scenes, you guys. Like there's whole things going on and he takes the time to do some comedic bit in something where he's like apologizing because he hits the wrong person or something like that. He punches his friend. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Boom. And he gets kicked in the head and off and stuff. And that also transitions into his style. It's the biggest, I think, thing for him was when he was given that opportunity to do his own thing for once. He wasn't trying to fit in the mold of somebody else. He was able to develop his own style. He has his whole stunt crew. There's great documentaries that I'll put links to the show notes in about his style and his stunt crew and how they communicate. They have a whole series of grunts and things they do so that when someone's behind him, they can make a certain sound so he knows, okay, that guy's coming, so he can duck as that kick comes in, turn, kick that guy. You know, like old kung fu movies where there's like 30 dudes standing around the hero and then they attack one at a time? Yeah. Jackie's like, fuck that. Four people at once, they all try to hit me in the head with a bottle. I get hit in the head by three of them and then I kick this one guy and then I'm over here and then I flip this chair around and boom. And it's all created in the moment. He and his stunt crew will get into a room. They kind of look around. They're like, okay, this is cool, man. Maybe you can come off this and I'll hang in the doorway there and stuff. And then a chair will get slid and out and I'll sit down on that and then spin around.
Wait, so you're saying to me that they don't rehearse those scenes for like 3 weeks before they do them?
No.
What?
A lot of it's more or less structured improv, I guess would be the way, because again, because
they're the ultimate improvisers.
Yeah, yes. Really though, because their team is so cohesive that one, they can predict what they're all going to do, and then second of all, they have so many vocal cues where if one of them goes huh! like that, that means Jackie knows, that means a kick is going towards my head, so he knows to duck. So they're constantly making sound, and all that sound is essentially them communicating the entire time.
I'm coming in, he's coming next.
I'm coming in, I'm coming in, I'm going low, I'm going high, I'm going left, I'm going right. They're constantly talking to each other in their own invented language.
My jaw is dropping. And I am blown away.
They probably
away.
Do it like 10 or 12 times to get it really looking good, and I'm sure they spliced it up and stuff like that. But no, it's more or less kind of, it's done on the fly. They're really winging it in a really impressive way.
Have we thought about the idea that they all have some sort of chip implanted and they are all one and we should be worried?
Jackie Chan is just the puppet master.
They're all sharing Jackie's brain now.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it feels like, you guys. I mean, again, in the documentary about his stunt work and stuff, it's crazy. They go into Who Am I, which is a film.
My favorite, personally.
Nick's favorite. And we'll get into all your guys' favorites here. And they're just on this rooftop. And they're like looking around. They're like, oh, there's some sandbags. What if I fucking whack you with a sandbag? And it'll like make powder so it's like really cool looking. It's just all on the day. And then they're like, I'm going to slide down the side of that building too at the end of the fight and stuff. But the cool thing, again, guys, that it comes down to is that there's comedy infused with the fighting.
Yes.
A lot of times you see a movie and there might be funny parts and then there's action parts. And the comedy and the action stay side by side or separate. Jackie Chan, it's throughout.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is like this guy he's still with us. Thank you. Please, Jackie, don't ever leave us. He was informed and inspired by people like Charlie Chaplin. Buster Keaton was huge for him. All these great silent film people that, you know, did these comedic stunts and stuff like that. And so you see homages to Buster Keaton and stuff throughout all of his movies. There are a lot of, if you guys have ever seen the classic thing where Buster Keaton's standing in front of a house and the whole front of the house falls off and goes, the window goes right around him. And so he doesn't get hurt by that. That's in a Jackie Chan movie directly lifted from these things that he's inspired by.
Which is really brilliant because all of those old, you know, the Chaplins and the Buster Keatons, everything was done through physicality because there was because it was silent. And so he really took that and ran with it and then made it his own through the fighting and the martial arts. And usage of props is I mean, just mind blowing. You watch any of his stuff and he always has props in it, but there are so many things where it's just like, again, I don't talking about like the most impressive improv ever. I don't know how they got all this stuff because it's just this, and then he's jumping into here and then here, and he's going through here, and then he's going in a wheelbarrow, and then he's jumping through this chair.
Yeah. And there's an extended sequence in Rush Hour, which Dylan, I know you've watched, where he's handcuffed to a steering wheel and has to fight with the steering wheel, and he's finding all these ways to disarm someone with the steering wheel. Yeah. All this
or
crazy
stuff. Or in Shanghai
stuff.
Noon with you know, just a piece of rope and then a horseshoe, and then what he can get done with just a piece of rope and a horseshoe. Yeah. And then to me, the most impressive and beautiful one is the ladder fight in Jackie Chan's
first strike.
Yeah. And it's just is one where he's fighting with a ladder and it's just so weird and cool because he's just flipping it around and opening it and closing it and jumping through it and going, and it's just,
I'll put a link to that scene.
It's just art. He's just dancing.
And one of the things that I think American audiences glommed onto and really appreciated, because we like spectacle and things. One other area where Jackie Chan separates himself from the pack is in the big stunts. Mm-hmm. His movies, of course, every little fight scene is just, that's all stunt work. But then he's just like, no, what more can I do here? And this guy in many of his movies has kind of a pivotal moment at the end where there is a massive stunt that's performed. And, you know, no one's done what Jackie Chan does before. No one will do it since, simply because legally no one's going to insure that.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude has sacrificed his body for his art.
He's almost died. Almost died so many times.
Yeah. And the cool thing is with his stunts is it's always real, with the exception of a couple things in the movies he did in America where
they wouldn't let him.
Those insurance reasons that they could not sign off on. He always does his stunts for real. And the way you know it's for real is because you see his face throughout it. It's one shot that tracks down. They shoot it from multiple angles. And in the movie, they'll literally show the same shot from three different angles. So you're like, yeah, he flipped over a car on that, or he's really hanging off the back of a bus by an umbrella, which again is another nod to silent film era stuff. He's hanging on an umbrella by a double-decker bus.
They'll literally show it and then go back,
show it again.
It completely breaks the fourth wall of movies because it's not a cohesive story, but it's like, they're like, this was so cool, we're going to show it this many times.
Yeah. And just a couple examples of crazy stunts he's done. He's run over a moving car is coming, he jumps and runs over the hood, over the roof, and back down at a car that's moving at speed. He does a 60-foot drop from a clock tower, which he literally hung on to, like the minute hand right on the bottom, hung on until his hands gave out because he couldn't bring himself to let go.
He was so scared.
He
just hung there until his hands gave out. And he went through three awnings.
Yeah.
Went through three awnings, landed on his head and his neck, and then did it two more times.
Because he's just like the way it looked. Yeah, I didn't like it. Do it two more times. I think they ended up using the first take, which is just three times, dropping 60. The awnings are not stunt. They're just legit. As they rip, there's no extra material, and he lands on his fucking head. and he's just like, all right, run it back. That was in, I think, Project A?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, crazy. In Who Am I, which you mentioned, it has a rooftop scene. He slides 21 stories down the side of a building that's at a 45-degree angle. It's this glass roof building. And then at the very end, before it becomes a sheer drop, he kind of trips and goes halfway off the edge. 100% real.
Mm-hmm.
No net. He stood up on top of that building for 3 straight days.
Because he was so scared to do it.
Because he couldn't bring himself to do it for 2 days in a row. And the third day, he finally does. And the idea is like, hey, man, I need to make sure that I like go halfway off and I'm like looking down. So he has to push it to the edge. But if he goes over, that's it. There's no backup plan for that. You know, just crazy. This dude has been annihilated so many times physically. This guy was electrocuted. He slid down this pole in a mall in a Police Story and was electrocuted, burned all the skin off his hands, almost was paralyzed, dislocated his pelvis. Not just one stunt. He had to get a part of his brain or his skull removed to stop the swelling of his brain. And that wasn't even a big stunt that was supposed to be a big deal. That just went horribly wrong. He has no cartilage left in his knees.
He's jumped onto coals.
So much stuff.
Just crawling over coals.
All for our entertainment, you guys. And that's why we need to respect him because literally sacrifice his body for us. So,
okay. So I'm fully on board with, obviously Jackie Chan is the greatest.
Thank you. I know.
That being said, and this is me being me and no. of course being contrarian, but I have heard that he is kind of personally a little odd. Like, he has a lot of stuffed animals, and he like takes pictures with this one particular stuffed animal with celebrities all around the world. Like, President Obama did it with him.
Sure.
So I just wonder how he can be this like masterful stuntman and just kind of be so quirky in his personal and private life. How do I reconcile these two very different persons?
He's a bit of an odd duck, maybe a little bit eccentric and stuff. Like, I've heard similar things where he makes everyone, I think say hello to him and good day and stuff, and he wants everyone on set to say that to each other. But here's the thing, it's stuffed animals. Everyone loves stuffed animals. He wants everyone to say hello and be kind to each other. He's very big on that. So he's all good things, you guys. He just wants everyone to love each other.
No, I totally agree.
And as far as celebrity quirks go, that's pretty mild.
I mean...
Is it just because he's a genius?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's signs of, like, being a genius, right?
Absolutely. There's some eccentricities there. I mean, you talk about the fanatical level of drive that he has that all of the greats have. Like, Michael Phelps was talking about this in the Olympics. He's just now kind of learning to, like, talk to people during the Olympics and stuff because that dude is super driven. And, you know, there's...
Well, I think Steve Jobs was a big weirdo. So.
Absolutely.
And he's a genius. We all agree.
I know.
Steve Jobs, big genius, also kind of, like, only ate carrots for, like, 6 months at a time. So,
right. And I think it kind of goes side by side or coincides with having that kind of drive and that fanatical... attention to detail and stuff. And I mean, Jackie Chan definitely fits into that. So yeah, I'm not surprised to see. And as far as celebrity quirks go and stuff, I'm like, well, he likes to take pictures of stuffed animals. That's fine. I don't know what he does with them after the camera stopped rolling. Does not matter. I'll take the stuffed animals.
Okay. No, I agree.
And the forced niceties with everybody. So
maybe people should have a little more forced niceties in the world.
Yeah, if that's his whole thing, he's like, you better fucking say good day to that cam op over there. I'm like, all right, that's fair. I'll take it. So yeah, guys, those are just my reasons. I hope you guys agree. Okay, just going back real quick. No one has the style like Jackie Chan and the vision like Jackie Chan. The stunts, just all the stunts. That's a huge one. And then his ability to sell the scenes as an actor, you know, as a performer, a true performer.
He's a completely well-rounded performer, and it comes from his time in the opera.
Yeah.
Do we get to say our favorites?
I do want to know your guys' favorites. And if you have a favorite moment of Jackie Chan's or a film or something, I'm just curious. I don't know if I can choose one, but what's your favorite movie, Casey?
Definitely Shanghai Noon, possibly because it was the first one I saw. You know, so I was young, impressionable.
You're always partial to your first.
Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah.
That movie's amazing, by the way. So I don't blame you
for
that.
My favorite, I'll never forget the scene as just kind of acting moments where he's got the chopsticks and he's chopstick digging himself out of the sand.
He's buried to his neck in this dirt.
In sand and dirt. And he's all he gets is chopsticks. And then when he brings it back later and does the same thing to Owen Wilson, that's so funny to me. It's just such a like comedy memory seared in my brain that I love so much. And then the scene with the horseshoe is probably one of my favorite fight scenes ever.
So impressive.
I'll put a link to the show notes for that horseshoe scene because I wrote that down as probably my favorite individual moment with a propping. So Shanghai Noon, good choice.
Okay, wait, but we didn't hear Brothers Murph's favorites. Right,
Nick.
What is your favorite Jackie Chan
favorite
movie?
or favorite?
All right, scene.
Talked about the ladder fight.
I'm going to the ladder fight. Weirdly enough, despite that's my favorite fight scene with like props and such.
Sure.
It's not my favorite fight scene, or I'll say even like moment. And I said Who Am I was my favorite movie. I think I'm gonna recant that and go back.
Okay.
Who Am I has my favorite stunt and my favorite fight scene. The stunt is him sliding down the building just because it's so amazing.
Yeah.
My favorite fight scene is right before that, the rooftop fight scene where he's fighting against, I always just refer to them as arms and legs because one of the guys is all arms. He's fighting with all arms, and he's super, super fast. He can just punch like the speed of light. But the other dude's like this big, like Dutch dude, and yeah. he like only fights with his legs. And he's all like really tall, and he just can kick like lightning. And it's just they're kind of like the duality of each other. Like one's all arms, one's all legs, and Jackie Chan's fighting. They take turns fighting Jackie, but then eventually they start losing, and so they both team up on him. And of course, Jackie in the end wins after getting the crap kicked out of him for a while. And it's just, I've always, ever since I was a kid, it's always been my favorite fight scene. Always, there's more impressive fight scenes, but I've always loved that one. It's always been my favorite, and then it gets, the climax is him having to slide down the building, which is just perfect. My favorite actually is probably Rumble in the Bronx.
Great movie.
I love Rumble in the Bronx. It's just weird. It's like from his like Hong Kong days, but it like takes place in New York, and it's just kind of gritty but fun and weird and just, and I don't know.
He's kind of taking down Asian gangs in the Bronx and stuff that are like messing with his family members that he's like visiting. Is like he's staying with his like uncle.
Yeah, he's staying with his uncle who owns like a grocery store. Yeah. And I don't know. I just love it. And there's parts that get kind of real, and it's just. And it's just interesting, and there's one part where he's jumping off of like a building onto a hovercraft because you know it's Jackie Chan, and he broke his ankle, and so he had a cast on his leg, and they took a sock and drew like a sneaker on it, and then put it over his cast so that he could keep working. Huh. Yeah. So a lot of the movie in the very end, like he actually has a cast on with a sock that looks like a shoe, but he's moving so quickly you can't tell.
Yeah, one of the things that he's doing in that cast, by the way, is barefoot water skiing.
Yeah.
Just getting pulled
by a boat
and just doing it in a full on cast. That man, he must have gone through several casts.
Yeah. Okay.
To ruin him.
So my favorite is probably Rumble in the Bronx. Ever since I was a kid, I've just loved it. I've always loved that movie.
Okay. So Rumble in the Bronx is a big one. That was one that our dad
you
showed us.
You need one. What's your fave?
I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying Rumble in the Bronx is dope. There's some cool ass scenes in that movie. For me, this is a movie that I didn't grow up with. I came into a little bit later. But it's so impressive, you guys. And it's The Legend of Drunken Master. So this was the second movie in the Drunken Master series. There's one that's way old. And he made Legend of Drunken Master, I think...
way later, right?
Way later, in the 80s or maybe even early 90s. And it's freaking rad. It's amazing because... there's no, like, humongous stunt in this movie. There's no jumping off of the top of a building... but every little scene, every little fight scene is so fast, so well choreographed, and so impressive. It's just, I mean, all these little technical things, and he's mixing in the drunken master style of fighting where he does these different animals and stuff, but he just gets like super liquored up and he goes in his drunken master fighting style and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's insane. I mean, there's sword play in it and stuff. He's doing at one point, there's an extended sword fight underneath a train. So they're all crouched over and doing like all these things and jumping over the blades and all this and that. And the whole movie is at that level of difficulty. And so I watch it and I'm like, it's hilarious, by the way, because he's like getting all liquored up and whatnot. And it's the most impressive display. So I think that has to take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Especially because you guys named my other favorites. So. Yeah, so that's my take on Jackie Chan. So guys, I want to get into a little fun little shish bang, because in my research of Jackie Chan and stuff, I came up with a couple funny little, I don't know why I did that, you guys. Sorry, I'm glad that was on, you can't see that. So guys, I want to do what we're going to call a pop quiz. And I would challenge you guys, if ever you're leading a podcast, to end with a pop quiz, just because, you know, everyone likes a bit of trivia.
Well, especially because we're here to learn for the most part.
Right? Yeah.
But now you guys are here to learn. So let's see.
I want to see if you know this.
About to say, am I allowed to participate?
You are allowed to participate.
What are the rules?
Okay. The rules are, don't look at the screen that's going to have
I'm not wearing my glasses, guys. Okay, it's fine.
Casey's
I can't
blind,
see shit.
Dylan can't see, and Nick's over across the corner.
I mean, I'm almost.
I'm going to ask three questions. I'm curious if you guys know the answers.
Do we like, is it a speed or do we?
I'm going to say the question. We're going to go around the room real quick. It's a pop quiz. This is a mandatory thing. Okay, guys. So the first question, I'm going to lob you a softball and stuff. What is Jackie Chan's most financially successful film released in the United States? Casey, which film made
Kung
the most
Fu Panda.
Money? Kung Fu Panda. Nicholas?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Released in the U.S.
I'm going Rush Hour 2.
Rush Hour 2 for Nick. The answer is actually Rush Hour 2.
What?
Oh!
It just beat out the first Kung Fu Panda.
Okay.
And that movie made $226 million in the U.S.
Rush Hour 2 did?
Rush Hour 2.
Rush Hour was huge. I mean, it was a surprise hit.
Especially
in China. Like, that's probably might be his biggest movie still. They loved it, the Chinese audience.
Okay. So, Rush Hour 2. Yeah. My question, we talked a little bit about injuries in Jackie Chan. I'm curious, what part of his body do you think he is injured the most?
Oh, I'm going to guess his knee area, because you said he doesn't have any more cartilage there. Yeah,
that's why you ever see him running. He runs really weird. Yeah. It's because he has no cartilage.
He's a waddle run.
I'm guessing his knee. What's that? A patella? Is that your knee?
Okay. I'm talking about, specific injuries to a body.
I'm going to go the old noggin.
Now, the knee thing, I think, is a general wearing down over time.
Okay, that's
there
fair,
aren't
guys.
Specifically
I was
listed.
Go with that one.
And the head, you're in the right realm, because it's actually his nose, of all things. He's broken his nose over 4 times in movies specifically, and I'm sure he's broken it prior to breaking into
films. When he's in the Chinese opera, I'm sure.
So in
all
these things, you think, like, his back, he's on all this and that. He just janks his nose all day, apparently. Over 4 separate incidents. In the films.
On those fights, he's probably getting hit with stuff all the damn time.
Yeah. So Nick's in the lead officially at 1, but you guys get a half point for the noggin because, you know, he took a blow to the brain, but specifically his nose was the first to take the hit. Last question in the pop quiz, you guys. Jackie Chan has actually appeared in a comedic adult film. This is one of the only films he's ever filmed. I think one of two that does not feature an action scene.
Like a porno?
It is a comedic adult film.
Is it like rated X or NC-17?
I think it's more on the NC-17 or hard R. I don't think, again, I don't think this is like full Shaft and all that jazz action. But I think you probably see, like, you know, Jackie's backside flopping up and down, and I don't know. Again, I haven't brought myself to watch it because maybe that's the greatest stunt of all. This was very early in his career. This is before he blew up. So, I mean, this is the 70s.
And, you know, Stallone did
some porn. Of course he did an adult film.
Stallone
did
all these people. I mean, hey, you got to make a buck.
You got to do what you got to do, man. Right. I'd watch that.
So my question for you guys is, what's the name of that film?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay, hold on. Can you give me a hint? Is it like punny?
It's not like Operation Conned Her. I can't come up. It's not like a pun on a movie title that exists. Okay. So just get wildly creative, you guys.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to guess something with like Fist.
Oh God. The real Fist of Fury.
Fist of Fury. Think about it.
Real Fist of Fury. Damn, actually, that's a fun one. We should come up, like, what do you think would be the best pornographied version of a Jackie Chan film? But that's for the next podcast.
Okay. Next podcast.
All right, so I know you said it wasn't this, but I don't care. I'm going with Shanghai Poon.
Shanghai Poon.
I know that's wrong. You said it wasn't a pun on a movie.
This was also made very early in his career, but maybe that's the inspiration for Shanghai Noon. All right, so we've got Shanghai Poon, and we've got The Real Fist of Fury. Okay, so close. It's actually called All in the Family.
Oh God!
Which I've not seen this film.
Those were the days.
I think it's a fun thing, like "What you up to, sis?" You know, or I don't know.
Oh, Jackie.
I will specify again. It is a comedic adult film. Okay, I think it's more for like laughs than anything else. And I think seeing Jackie Chan bone down might be, you know, when he's young and awkward.
I'm looking this up once we're done with this. Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
That
man.
Is awesome.
Respect the hustle, you guys.
Okay, before we go, can I please, I need to pitch something.
Sure.
To all the Disney executives who are listening, because I know you are.
Yes.
This is my call to you, I want everybody, please, after this podcast, to hashtag, we want Jackie Chan to play Mulan's father in the live action remake.
He has to.
That they're making.
Who else would it be? He has to.
We want him to be... Just, it would be perfect. It would be so perfect for him to be that role. Or the Emperor. That's my second choice. I'm going dad first, Emperor second.
The dad is like he's real acting in that.
The heart of the film, you know, is that relationship with her and her dad. So, anyway, Disney executives, please listen. We're going to start hashtag
what's Jackie for Mulan.
Yeah, hashtag Jackie for Mulan, and let's please make it happen, folks. I've already tweeted
at people, and we should do it. So yeah. I want everyone that listens to this to rate the show, you guys.
Yes,
we'd love a rating on iTunes, and for you to share it and just tell us what you think. By the way, if you like it, cool. If you don't like it, tell us how we can be better.
Yeah,
don't just be like fucking sucks. You know, just like give us your thoughts. You know.
Yeah.
But then
if
also,
if we talk too long, if my voice is too high pitched, please let me know. We'll I can't really change that.
We'll
bring it on down in post. But yeah, no matter what you do, just start tweeting about the fact that Jackie Chan needs to be Mulan's dad.
I don't know how far they are into production, but
Jackie for Mulan.
Make it happen.
And I guess on that note, now we've got business to attend to, because we all need to go start tweeting right now too. And so I think it's going to wrap it up, you guys. Now we all know, I'd say it's safe to say, we all know how to become the ultimate martial arts entertainer. It's to be like Jackie Chan, but with that said, Jackie Chan became the ultimate by not following others. So forge your own style, yeah, you guys.
Aww,
basically, do a bunch of cool stunts and mix in some humor if you can, and then you will, too, become wildly successful. So hopefully we've done that with this podcast, and we, too, will be wildly successful. And so that's going to be it for me, you guys. Join us next week. We're going to be taking on a whole bunch of different topics. And we're going to be getting into that real soon. So please stay tuned. It's always going to be really fun. And in the meantime, I'm Michael Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
Dylan White.
And we at the Brothers Murph would like to remind you to stay curious.